This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
First they hit with phase one, airstrikes all day and all night. Phase two, rockets hit the Gaza Strip with phosphorus. Phase three, ground attack, how we gonna counteract? Boycott, divest, and sanction. Boycott, divest, and sanction. Boycott, divest, and sanction. Israel, you should be ashamed. Killing maimed thousands of civilians in our name. Claim you hitting terrorists, but children in your aim. Even murder relief workers, what's spilling from their brain? While they tried to drive the ambulance, so they couldn't stand a chance. Even bomb students, hospitals, Maas Rafa and Khan Yunus. Shot them in their back like the cops that grant. And then eat the good old United States sponsored $7 million until we pay some Apex lobbyists. It's rock ain't, cause you made it too obvious. Naked truth exposed like the emperor's clothes. The struggle's getting hotter and the temperature rose. Since 1948, when you formed the state, Palestinian people still defending their homes. They ain't been surrendering, no. Boycott, divest, and sanction. Boycott, divest, and sanction. Boycott, divest, and sanction. Cause they even bombed the United Nations. Look, I'm a, my government arrogant. War criminals, Palestinians, terrorists for resisting extinction. And I can compare it to genocide and resistance of Native Americans. It's a massacre. Kick out they ambassador. Divest apartheid like Africa. Caught them like King Montgomery buses. Show them we want peace, but only with real justice. They murdering the media, witnesses left. We're gonna stop shit, all the biz that invest in they settlement. Gentrifying is illegal over there and the U.S.-Mexico border. Build a worldwide movement till the truth is heard. And supporting the Israelis who refuse to serve. All the COs who ate war when deployed to Iraqi stations. All the people rallying while the cops are chasing. If we enlisted in the system, we got an obligation. And we ain't got the patience, time to stop the occupation. Yeah. Boycott, divest, and sanction. Boycott, divest, and sanction. Boycott, divest, and sanction. Till there's right of return for displaced and reparations.
Hello, everybody. This is Rosa Clemente. I'm so happy to be back on the radio after running my historic campaign with Cynthia McKinney. I couldn't be on the radio while I was campaigning. I think a lot of people know that. But I have been gone anyway for about the last 2 years, traveling and doing a lot of different things. But I'm really happy to be back, and I'm happy to come back on the radio as we celebrate International Working Women's Day for 2009. I am more so ever proud to be a woman, especially in electoral politics and so many of the lessons that I learned and so many ways that I was empowered by people all over this country, by working class people, by working women, by disabled, by LGBT, black, white, anarchist, non-anarchist, religious, atheist, and it's very important as a woman to often expand in your mind what your what it is that you are about politically, what kind of unlimited possibilities that are out there for us, especially if we continue, particularly as young women of color coming out of the hip-hop generation, of kind of forging our own path in this culture of hip-hop. And I think that What I did by running was say that women are here in hip hop. We are powerful. We are not just eye candy or dime pieces. We are really the backbone of a whole culture, whether it's being a B-girl or a DJ or an MC on the mic or a graph artist or that fifth element of hip hop culture called knowledge, culture, and politics. And that's the kind of element that I come from that fifth element. I kind of rock the mic in a different way than an MC might. So in saying that, today I have a great guest. But right now, she's having a little trouble getting upstairs, getting through security. I didn't know that the building security had come. It's almost like a lockdown. It took me a couple minutes to get here. But she's coming up, and we're going to briefly discuss what particularly a lot of young people are discussing as it relates to domestic violence and abuse. A lot of young people all over this country are talking about Chris Brown and Rihanna. And it's interesting because I'm talking about women in hip-hop and feminism, or I would prefer now, womanism, and I'm going to talk about why I would prefer to use that term, especially in the future for us as women of color. But, you know, obviously Chris Brown and Rihanna are not hip-hop artists, but obviously are of the hip-hop generation. So, again, when I talk about hip-hop, I usually don't engage in too much on the rap lyrics or the MCs, the recorded artists who perform. So as they are part of a generation, but also part of a young generation that at least we thought we might have had a better handle on when it comes to, and I'm kind of tired of the word domestic violence. It reminds me of date rape. Like, what's the difference between rape and date rape? It doesn't even make sense. It's almost like domestic violence is something that at least is not as bad as stranger violence, you know. And the reality is that violence so many times starts with verbal abuse. And in hip-hop, for a lot of us as political women, as journalists, as writers, we are sometimes subject to that verbal abuse. I've been thinking about this a lot. You know, the verbal abuse that we face when we dare to step into so-called the politics that a man has always led, you know. So whether it's running for office, whether it's being on the front lines at a rally, whether it's saying that some of the men in our culture who seek to say that they empower us as a people really should be, as we say, called out. And this, you know, we're not going to do that tonight because that's for another show. But the whole point of that was to put into context that if we, within hip-hop culture, also allow verbal abuse, if we allow women who stand up to be slandered or defamed, or people begin to talk about what they think our sexual preferences are, our sex lives, because we have a politic that differs, or actually a politic that will put hip-hop kind of culture on its right path, that if we don't stop that from the beginning, these men then think that they are empowered to that next step. So the next time it's not verbal abuse, the next time he may have been drinking and he sees you at an event and he puts his hands on you. And then the third time he's drunk and this time he's at the club and he throws you down a flight of steps. And that's what's happening in the culture. So the Chris Brown Rihanna thing is more pop culture. It's very sensationalized. We know that. But it's these everyday moments within the culture that if we don't have men saying, no, you're not going to talk about that journalist or that political person or that B-girl around me and call her out her name and say all these things about her, then again, those men then feel, and unfortunately many of them will, the next step will become that kind of physical, murderous type of abuse. And if we look at any cases of violence against women, it always starts with the verbal, with the harassment, and it grows from there. So now that we've gotten over the hurdle of getting into the building, I was supposed to have two guests on tonight, but my segment was a little shorter than an hour. And I really wanted to kind of put into context the conversation happening around the Chris Brown Rihanna thing. And then lastly, really put into context why women of color need to start talking about racism as white women. Sometimes are becoming oppressive to women of color and their growth. And that's why I go back and forth with feminism, because I really would rather be considered a womanist. And there's some really great books around this, but really, to me, one of the best books to talk about womanism, which essentially puts women of color and our race at the center of who we are. It does not take away from who we are as women, but that we cannot deny that we are women and women of color. And that's something that oftentimes, particularly in feminist movements, we are told we have to pick, you know, and we're not going to pick. I'm certainly not going to pick. And there's a great book called Africana Womanism by Clenora Hudson Weems, put out by African World Press. And it's an amazing book. And also one of my mentors, Dr. Vivian Verdell Gordon, who was my mentor at SUNY Albany, has an amazing book called Black Women, Which Way for Liberation, where she talks about the intersection of race, class, and gender. So just as a couple of resources for folks that, and men and women who want to read this and pass it on to their kids. There's also an amazing book. It's kind of out of print, but you can get it. It's called This Bridge Called My Back, and it's writings by radical women of color. And it was a groundbreaking feminist anthology by two Latina women. I remember reading this in college in my first feminism class around women of color. And this book literally changed my mind. I had never heard about Latina women not only as supporting their men, but being revolutionaries in their own right. And then one more anthology that I would suggest, especially for young women coming up in activism, is the Insight anthology. Insight is an amazing organization. Go to their website. And Insight is, the full name is Insight Women of Color Against Violence. But they have an anthology out there. And I think it's very, it's academic, but it's very street friendly. So we're going to go to our guests. All my music got messed up. Joyce, you got to find me something to play at the end. I was going to play Eve and Queen Latifah. And what everybody heard was Invincible in her new song about what happened in Palestine and Gaza. We'll play that again. I wanted to showcase, like, women MCs. Okay. So sitting next to me is Elizabeth Mendez-Berry. Full disclosure, she's a really good friend of mine. I love her to death, but she's an amazing journalist. Her journalism and criticism has appeared in the Washington Post, Vibe, The Village Voice, and Time, among many others. Love Hurts, her controversial article on domestic violence in the hip-hop industry, won ASCAP's 2006 Deems Taylor Award for Music Writing. That is large. ASCAP is large, and everybody in the music business knows what they mean. So that was an amazing award. The article was also included in Dae Capo's Best Music Writing Anthology, as was her essay on Jay-Z's premature retirement, The Last Hustle. Listen to PSA on that album, and maybe Elizabeth influenced Jay-Z to talk a little bit about something bigger. In 2008, she won Columbia's Heckinger Award for Best Education Coverage for her piece on the death of a Bronx high school. She was born and raised in Toronto. She now lives in New York. She has a master's in journalism from Columbia. And she recently wrote a great article that folks can find on what's increasingly becoming my favorite website, New American Media. It's called Chris Brown, Rihanna, and Reality. So what I want to do is welcome Elizabeth Mendez-Berry to the airwaves. And I'm thinking that I'm going to read a little bit from your article and then get into this discussion.
Read it with feeling.
I will. But in this, while I'm reading that, wow, it's good to be back on the radio. I'm a little nervous. All right. And my cousin's here. We have one man in the room tonight. What's up, cuz? The great men that support the great women like me. He has to, but he would anyways. What happened between Chris Brown and Rihanna on February 7th is still unclear, and we will probably never know. What is clear is that the relationship violence persists, largely ignored except when photogenic stars are involved. For black women ages 15 to 29, Rihanna's demographic, homicide is the second leading cause of death after accidents, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. A woman's most likely murderer is her current or former romantic partner. The problem is widespread. The U.S. Department of Justice recently reported that in 2007, intimate partner assaults on women were up 42%. Sadly, the response to Brown and Rihanna reveals why this goes unchecked. More time is spent attacking the individuals than attacking the problem. I'm going to skip a little bit. Read the article. But let me go to this part. My opinion, for the record, male or female, you don't have to be innocent to be a victim of violence. Other than self-defense, I am against responding to a smack with another one. There's legitimate frustration among both sexes that women's violence goes ignored. There's also legitimate frustration that men's violence against women, much more devastating in terms of hospital and trips and homicides, gets minimized. These concerns are often expressed at high volumes. Instead, we need frank conversations about conflict resolution because this isn't a man's or woman's issue. It is a community issue. The adversarial Team Rihanna versus Team Breezy implies that somebody wins at the end. Everyone loses. Chris Brown is 19. Rihanna is 21. The tragedy is that Brown, who witnessed his stepfather abuse his mother, allegedly resorted to beating his girlfriend. The bigger tragedy is that if that's the case, he's not alone. According to the Centers for Disease Control, teen relationship violence, including beatings perpetrated by females, is at an all-time high. One of the few benefits of nonstop coverage of this case is that we are forced to confront the issue. Unfortunately, whether a case involves celebrities or civilians, too many demonize one person instead of humanizing both. With all the bickering, there's little attention paid to preventing destructive behavior in the future. Is it any wonder that a growing number of young people can't figure out how to have healthy relationships? I love the article. I skipped some stuff, but I wanted to get in the statistics. So, Elizabeth, I think, you know, it's interesting, even in our movements, in progressive movements, I think people are really shocked to know that the second leading cause of death for black women in this country, age of 15-21, is what we call partner murder.
Yeah, I mean, it's striking. Just to be clear, the second cause of death behind accidents is homicide, and then within homicide, the majority of homicides are perpetrated by a current or former. So it's not exactly the second, but, I mean, regardless, the numbers are really troubling.
And this one, that intimate partner assaults have gone up 42%. And do you know in how many years?
In two years. Wow. In 2 years. It was between 2005 and 2007. So, I mean, it's striking. Do you know, I mean, it's always hard to know why you would have kind of that type of increase because it's so big. But I think that even, you know, over the past 30, 40 years, intimate partner violence has decreased. It has. But then you have these moments when it goes up, and you have these moments that you don't. It's not clear why, and what I think is unclear is why it persists nonetheless. You know, it's still an issue, and it's still something we don't talk about and we don't address. I think in an honest and constructive way, as I was arguing.
When talking about just violence against women, even with women of color, there's always a different conversation that's had in how other women react to the situation and how families may react, cultural kind of things. I mean, and looking at some of these statistics, are there any, you know, racial breakdowns around, has there been an increase in violence against black women? More obviously, we know that, but Latino women, poor women?
Well, I can say that I don't know all the stats, but one thing that's very persistent is that the community that's most affected by domestic violence per capita is Native Americans, really, really, by far. And then the community that is second most affected, according to the official numbers, although people talk, I mean, it's important always to acknowledge that there really is a lot of underreporting in this issue.
Right.
But the second most is African American, and the group that that has gone up while other groups have gone down has been black girlfriends, not black wives, but mm-hmm. black girlfriends.
Yeah, I think people would be surprised to know Native American women. That's interesting because Amnesty International did a report about a year and a half ago, right, where they have an entire report around violence against Native American women, it being the highest, the most underreported also, and the politics of the state where you have indigenous women living on these reservations where there's supposed to be some sort of law enforcement within the community and obviously police that are not part of that reservation area not supposed to come in. But, you know, I think people can still probably get that report. And I think that's important because when we think about Chris Brown and Rihanna, and it's all over, so the conversation is being had, then the conversation is not had, especially as it relates to poor women, right? So, you know, 3 years ago you wrote that article in Vibe about Big Pun's former wife, Lisa Rios, and the abuse she went through, you know, and when you wrote that, I mean, I hate that people call it controversial because I didn't find it controversial in that sense. I think, obviously, the hip-hop, male-dominated part of hip-hop found it controversial, and I'm sure some women that are power players in the culture found it controversial, but it was honest. And, you know, in writing that and then now writing this Chris Brown and Rihanna editorial that you just wrote, what do you see in now that you didn't see in 2006 when you wrote the article in Vibe magazine?
Well, I guess the difference is that now, I mean, then I was reporting, you know, I was investigating and I was looking to see what I would find. And this time it's more a question of me sort of seeing what the conversation is and responding to it and picking up the similarities. The big thing that happened for me after the Vibe piece came out is that I've really learned a lot about where people were at on that issue. There was a lot of kind of the internet, the anonymity of the internet kind of emboldens people to say what they really think, which I think, you know, has its positives. It has its negatives too, but the positive is, you know, that's it's clear that this is an issue that we need to talk about more, and we need to talk about more frankly, because people have very different opinions about what's okay in the confines of a relationship. So I learned about a lot of this stuff as a result of the piece that I did for Vibe, and I learned also about the kind of backlash that women face when they come out and they talk about their experiences, particularly when the man in question is somebody's favorite, famous, you know, hero and rap. And, yeah, and I think that was particularly one thing just with, I mean, Liza Pun's widow, she went through a ton, particularly at the hands of the Puerto Rican community.
Right.
And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that she was, you know, this is a guy who is perceived as a hero. And my thing is that I think we really need to move beyond thinking of people as either heroes or villains.
Right.
Pun was a very complicated person who had been through a lot. And Liza, also a complicated person who had been through a lot. But talking about his violence, you know, doesn't take away from his lyrical legacy, but it does start, you know, humanizing him and uses him, mm-hmm. hopefully, as an opportunity to start talking more about how cycles of violence. He had been abused as a child,
right.
Wound up abusing his wife, and then his kids wound up replicating that, too.
Well, yeah, that's what she's... And that's... I mean, the article's amazing, but one of the things that Liza said was, it was like, I got the extra bracelet because you punched me extra hard. And, you know, for those that don't follow hip-hop, what Big Pun and Fat Joe and Terror Squad achieved was nothing that, what they achieved was kind of a trajectory of what other Boricuas in hip hop had, whether it was Disco Wiz, Fable, or, you know, Roxanne, all these great Boricuas that were part and parcel of the founding of the culture. But Pun was the rap star. He was that kind of Afro Boricua, born in the Bronx, Spanglish-speaking dude from the block that got nominated for a Grammy. And obviously, in the Puerto Rican community, I mean, we all know this. We live in New York. I mean, you're going to the parade. We're rocking. Like, you know, the culture of Boricuas and the unity that comes, especially amongst entertainers, you know, because most, when you look at a lot of the entertainers in the Puerto Rican community, there's also kind of a politic. And Big Pun brought that, the fact that women could call themselves Afro Boricua, the fact that he talked about growing up next to other brothers and sisters, he understood the black struggle and all that was important. So when the article came out, it was almost like, you know, the deity is tainted. But the reality is that he was still a young brother who would have had to go through a lot to get to a place of healing. And the fact that in your article you say, another factor that had motivated Liza was her son was beginning to hit her girls for any little thing. And even though that they loved Chris, a.k.a. Big Pun, my kids have a lot of anger too. And that's what concerns me. Because unless there's been some intensive healing and therapy that is also culturally grounded, what happens to his son and daughters, you know? And I know that's something that you I'm sure thought about, but in talking to them and meeting them, what is your feeling?
Well, I mean, that was a big motivation also for me with the story as a whole. I started with a conversation about the children and the way that this violence was affecting them. And I was just thinking about this today. For Liza had been trying to escape him.
Right.
She had tried to leave him three times, and each time that she did, he came in and chased her down and beat her up.
And
you can
imagine. One of the things that I totally forgot about, putting batteries in his beeper, and he took a lead pipe. I mean, like,
it's a level of violence that really...
it's murderous violence, because when you're going to that level, you're pretty raged. And
yeah, and I think that, so for her, being able to have that conversation, you know, being able to finally be free, I mean, of course, she loved him, and that's another reason that she was with him, and she had a complicated relationship with him, but the guy was dangerous, hazardous to her health, clearly. And so when she had the opportunity to start that process of healing by speaking about it, I mean, it's like one of those things, it's so interesting. For a woman to speak out, a woman in her position to speak out on this, is probably about the least, there's no kind of positives in terms of the broader community.
Right.
Well, there are many positives, but in terms of the immediate response, you know that people are not going to be happy with you doing it. The fact that she chose to do it nonetheless,
right.
The fact that she lost, you know, endorsements, the fact that she lost her position as everybody's favorite widow, I mean, you know, she did it because...
I mean, she lost a lot. She could have basically, like... as we say in hip-hop, she could have caked off the legacy, which would have been her right and her kids, and he would have, I'm sure, approved of that. But it's interesting because that's essentially what's happening a little bit. It's not the same with the Chris Brown case. And I don't say alleged now, because now that I've seen the police report. And, you know, I encourage people to read this, because you might not want to read it, but what you wrote came straight from Liza. What we're seeing with Rihanna is that she doesn't want these details out a little bit. I mean, you know, I'm not saying I know what she's going, that she doesn't want the details out, but what I'm saying is that, especially as a 21-year-old, they're trying to negotiate this. Especially, this is Rihanna. Like, I don't think people understand she's pretty much close on the top of the pop culture of the world, you know, and Chris Brown is up there in terms of the teenagers. But, you know, let me just read this. He said, Rihanna then turned to face Brown and he punched her in the left thigh with his right hand. He then drove away in the vehicle and continued to punch her in the face with his right hand while steering the vehicle with his left hand. This is according to the detective's notes. I'm going to beat the S out of you when we get home. You wait and see. The report also says that Brown bit her, put her in a headlock, she almost lost consciousness, and that he resumed punching her and interlocking her fingers behind her head and brought her elbows forward to protect herself, and he was still hitting her. I mean, because I hadn't read it before, I was really kind of gung-ho, like, we should take this as a learning moment, and both of them should get therapy, and I believe that. But the level of violence... because we didn't know until we read the reports, has me conflicted right now, because he could have killed her, and that's just the fact.
Well, I think that, so one thing about that affidavit is that that is her account of what happened. And it's really, really interesting, because I think given all of everything that we've seen at this point, it's pretty convincing that's fairly accurate about what happened. But, you know, we need to see it in the court of law, and we need to make sure that he has an opportunity to tell his side of the story. But I had the same reaction. I was, you know, profoundly troubled to read that, because when you read every second of it.
Right.
But what's striking to me, two things. One, I've been following the response to this case, just in terms of people around me and as well as people online and in the media. And even at this point, I saw several people on several blogs basically saying that it's still they don't believe.
Right.
You know, and they're saying that she must have provoked him and she must have somehow made that happen to and gotten herself beaten up.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I think is so important to talk about. And then the other thing is, I think, look, Big Pun, that was extreme violence. There needs to be accountability for that violence.
Right.
But then the other question is healing. And even if, you know, I mean, I think you and I have had conversations about this, about, you know, what's going to happen if there's no kind of healing, then this cat is going to, if he does time or he doesn't do time, then he comes out and then he replicates the cycle again, right? So certainly there needs to be some kind of intervention. But does that mean that they should be back together, or
right.
does that mean that we should, you know, not be concerned about this? No. So I think it's kind of finding that balance. And I think what's hard is that, you know, when we're so focused, we have a society where we're so focused on blame and we're not really as into the healing part.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. We're so focused on blame, but never accountability. You know, like, I mean, I'm going to go here for a second. But I'm just saying that's what's happening right now with these Republicans. You know, Lord knows, everybody knows I'm not a Democrat. But, you know, it's interesting. You know, now you want accountability on one side. What you've been blaming, I mean, and that's the nature, and I see it getting worse in younger people. What then becomes really accountability in our communities? How is race played out in this? Because I swear to God, if Chris Brown was dating Britney Spears and this happened, nobody would be blaming a Britney Spears. There's a race element to it. It's a cultural element. She's from Bahamas. We know people how we are in the Caribbean and having dealt with these issues. And the most horrific thing is that these are the names we hear. But 2 weeks ago in East New York, three women were killed and beaten. You know, one woman, because she left her man, she was a lesbian. She followed her her trueness. She's with her girlfriend, and her ex comes and shoots her in the head. You know, I mean, what is it with all these cases of these men losing their jobs? They're killing their wife. They're killing their kids. Then they kill themselves, you know. And this is, if we hear about it consistently in New York, what is happening in communities in the country's rural areas, communities that don't have access to media? And my fear is, with this economic crisis, we haven't even touch the beginning of what we could see to be widespread violence against women, because people are so frustrated. And I know, we have to go.
Right,
it's
now?
Almost 10:10. No, you can wrap up.
Okay.
And then I'll close it out. But that was just kind of me just asking questions that I hope we're having these conversations too with our young daughters and our young men, because I've seen a lot of you know, this teen kind of relationship violence that it's confounding, because I'm seeing it at 11 and 12, and I'm saying if you're already interacting like this as a young man or woman, I don't know what it means to be 18 and then have real problems, you know. So go ahead, Elizabeth, a couple.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think especially with teens, this is so important. So one of the reasons that the case with Rihanna and Chris Brown is so important to me is how young they are, and the fact that he personally had experience of witnessing abuse in his own home, and
right.
he had criticized that, which it takes courage at the
yeah.
age that he did it, you know. And this was the same situation for Liza Rios and Big Pun, 16 years old when they started. And, you know, it would have ended in somebody's death if it hadn't ended in his death. And so I think we really need to move past the blame and really talk. And also we need to start, men need to start being open to listening about
right.
this. If I say that I'm concerned about violence in my community, that doesn't mean I'm attacking you.
Right.
It means we need to collectively do some healing.
Just as women are concerned about police brutality against our brothers. So with that, thank you for letting me go a minute over. I just want to say I'm so happy to be back in New York. I will be here at BAI again with Sally very soon. Thank you to my guest, Elizabeth Mendez-Berry. Please look at New American Media.
And my website, MendezBerry.com.
And it's International Woman's Day, my name? Okay. But before I say my name, Joyce, you won't be mad at me for this one quick thing. Tomorrow, our Reverend activist brother, Padre Luis Barrios, will be at Metropolitan Correctional Center at 150 Park Row in New York City to begin to serve his two-month sentence for demonstrating his opposition to the existence of the United School of Torture, a.k.a. the School of the Americas. He has to surrender by 2. We need to be there. Padre Barrios is a warrior, and a warrior that has put women like me in the front lines all the time. And we're going to be there with you. We're praying for you, and we'll see you in 2 months. And this has been Rosa Clemente, International Working Women's Day. And I'll see you guys soon. And thank you, Joyce Jones, our beautiful engineer, and getting us in this, getting us up here today. Have a good one.
join us and a host of women, queens, warriors, lesbians, mothers, sisters, and friends.
This Sunday, March 8th, as we celebrate International Working Women's Day, with 24 hours of programming by us, for us, and about us.
Right here on WBAI 99.5 FM, you don't want to miss it. Tell a friend and tune in.
Jazz, blues, interviews, news, artists, poets, your phone calls. Something wonderful for everyone.
That's Sunday, March 8th, International Working Women's Day, right here on WBAI 99.5 FM. Be sure to join us.
Come together.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.